So the doggish Laney is what?
The doggish Laney? It does what?
Makes a hard sound.
The doggish 40? Doubles the sound. Like doggone. Doggone. That's a doggish 40, isn't it? All right? And anything else will just make the sound singular, but it'll make it harder. When you like your pay here, the doggish Laney in that thing makes it a hard P sound. All right? A hard P sound. Now, how many verb stems are there in Hebrew? How many verb stems? Steve, you remember how many verb stems?
I was thinking seven.
That's right. A plus. All right. Now, what are they? The cal stem is what? Simple active. The nifel is simple passive. The PL is what?
Intensive.
All right. And the PUEL, intensive passive, that means he was brutally killed. All right. And then the intensive reflexive is HIFEL, he brutally killed himself. And then the HIFEL is a causative active, he calls to kill. And the HOFEL is causative passive. He was caused to kill. Okay? So there we have, so we remember that. What does what's that mean? What's that mean?
While consecutive and perfect.
While consecutive and perfect. How about this one? Well, that's real good. You're doing real good. You're looking at your notes, huh?
No.
All right. You got it. Okay, now describe this one. Tell me how you would translate this.
Well,
while consecutive and perfect. How would you do that?
The W is so it happened. The C is it continued and it happened.
While consecutive perfect, Roger?
It happened and it continued to happen.
Okay. All consecutive perfect. Stephen? All consecutive perfect. We also call this another thing. There's another word for this.
Future?
What? Future perfect.
Future.
It shall have happened. Okay, it shall have happened. So let's go down and let's read 3:1-6. 3:1-6 in the Amplified Bible, if you don't mind coming up here. You're right there, aren't you?
It shall happen, right?
I've still got a little bit of pneumonia.
Now, when the serpent was more subtle than every, subtle and crafty than any living creature of the field which the Lord God had made, and he, Satan, said to the woman, "Can it really be that the Lord said you should not eat of every fruit, every tree in the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from the trees of the garden, except the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden. God has said, thou shalt not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. But the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die. For God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be as God, knowing the difference between good and evil and blessing and calamity."
All right. Now, there's where we are to this moment. That's where we are right up to this moment. Okay? The old devil is preaching and quoting the Bible. And he's twisting God's word, and he is blaspheming the name of God and who God is. He's twisting up the person of God, isn't he? Now, every false religion does that, doesn't he? False religions usually look at God. A God looks at mankind as nothing but slaves. Did you know that? False religion. When God looks at people as nothing but slaves. Does it? Or does it not?
If you do this for me, I'll allow it.
Yeah, that's right. Jehovah's Witnesses. You got to work your way to heaven. You got to get out there and serve and serve and serve and serve. All false religions, by the way, will ask more of their people than God will ask of you. Do you know that?
Right.
What? I want to know. And some people do not agree with this. I want you to know out there in the religious world. I believe, and I can teach from the Word of God, that that church members ought to tithe. Okay?
Agreed.
All right? Okay? But false religions are not satisfied with a tithe. A church running okay, and I mean above ground in every way, a tithe from its members will more than support it. Okay? What did Armstrong ask of these people?
Triple tithes.
What did Mohammed ask of his people? At least 20% of everything. All right? At least that much. And by the way, what is the term for a Muslim? What does that mean?
One who submits.
A servant. A servant or a slave of Allah. A slave of all. How does the world, how does false religion look at their, God look at his subjects? As slaves. But now let's look at what God, how God made man. Did God make man a slave, or what did he make him? How did he make man? How did he make him? In his own image.
Co-equal.
Well, not exactly. We wouldn't say co-equal, no, but he made him in Genesis, 2, it says that man was made in the spiritual image of God. His shadow casting likeness and his blood flowing likeness and in his sovereign likeness. So where we have triune man, that's where you go, all right? God made man in his image. Now, God made man in his image to be a ruler. As a king of the earth. Did he not? Where was his throne room?
Eden.
Eden was his throne room. Alright? And we see that. I mean, that's a fact. But that's not the way false religions look at man. The Bible says that he is going to share his glory with us. We'll never be God. You know, understand that. I mean, some people like Armstrong and some of these groups like this, we're going to be gods. Mormons. Mormonism. God the Father has just got a bigger chance and Jesus, the God Jesus, just had a head start on them because they're going to be, in 1,000 years, they'll be where they were. They can catch up. You know, they're gods also. That's what the Bible teaches. But the Bible does teach that we will be a very close entity with God forever. And there will be no more slaves, so to speak. Slaves. All right? Now let's go in verse number 6 and let's look at this shenanigan that old Satan is doing here. Wat tare. All right? Look at that. What's that doggish in the middle of that? The doggish. Wat tare. What is that?
14.
Huh? 14. That's a doggish 40. What does it do?
It makes two times.
It makes it a strong sound. Okay? Now, how many T's are there in Hebrew?
Three.
Three T's in Hebrew. All right? You got the three T's. Okay? There's two hard ones, and this is a hard one here, but without the doggish laney in it, it is a TH sound, isn't it? A TH, not a strong T sound. Watare Ha'isha. All right. Now, what is that? See the shin there? What is that doggish in there? What is that doggish?
Another 40.
That's a doggish 40. And what does that do?
It makes two of those.
It makes two of those. So we have Ha'isha. So we have Ha'isha. So we got a double SH sound in there. Ha-ish-sha. And then we have the word ki. Ki. Ti, ki, ki. All right. Ki. And what is that in the middle of that one?
Same thing.
All right. That's the one that makes it hard, isn't it? All right. That's the doggish laney. All right.
When you say doggish, is that D-O-G-I-S-H?
A doggish. A doggish. We bring that in from to another language. Okay, from another language. A doggish.
Thank you.
Okay. Doggish 40 and doggish Laney. Doggish 40 and doggish Laney. So we're seeing these doggishes here, aren't we? Almost every word hadn't it so far. Okay, now we have Tov, and we have a different T in this Tov, don't we? Tov. Say Tov with me, guys. All right, and then we have here Ha-etz, Ha-etz. Li-ma-a-kal. Wichi. Ta-ba-a. Hu. La-el-na'im. We nikmad ha'etz li ha haskel. Okay, and then wat tik tak mit piro wat to call. Wa titim gam li isha ima why ya call. Let's go back and look at this long verse here. Watare. Tell me about that word there. Anybody have any idea? What's the wa on the front of it? What's that mean? Steve, you know what that wa is?
I'm talking about cheat notes.
Huh? What's wa? Brother Abe, what's wa?
Violet.
What?
La.
Huh?
Violet.
Ablative? What? Ablative? The wa on Watare. What is the wa on the front of it?
End.
Thank you. What is an end? That's a conjunction. Okay? And. Conjunction, page 253 if you want to write it down. And watare, and that is, conjugate that one for me now. Sharon, can you conjugate that? That watare.
Okay. Cal.
Well, consecutive and perfect. What is the person on it?
Third person singular.
Feminine singular. Third person feminine singular. Cal, well, consecutive, imperfect. Cal, well, consecutive, perfect. What two ways can you write cal in? And explain it to me. There are two forms in Hebrew grammar for cal. Cal and
call.
There you are.
Yeah.
You will see in old Hebrew grammars, you will see a cal stem. In the more modern Hebrew grammars, you're going to see a call stem. Call and call. Almost the same thing. And you can use this now. This is a kind of a... See, the same thing. Same thing. Those sister languages. This is Arabic, okay, and this is our English translation of that word, and that's the same thing, call and call, on this side, okay? That's exactly the same difference. All right. And she saw. Okay? And she saw in what? Tell me about this verb here. While consecutive and perfect. Tell me about how this should be translated, Pamela. You remember me doing this a long time ago, don't you? You remember when I used to get people up and get them to make reports?
Yeah,
they did some good reports, too. How about that, Pamela? Translate that for me. And she what? And she saw and kept on seeing. All right. And she saw and kept on seeing. And then tell me about Ha Isha. Ha Isha. What about Ha Isha? Ha.
Ha is the definite article.
Definite article. How do you say that in Greek? All right, what would it be in Greek, brother?
It's either es or uk, I forget.
No. No, it's feminine.
Oh.
It's feminine, isn't it?
Oh.
Okay, so what would it be?
Oh.
Hey. Hey in Greek, hey. That's nominee singular feminine. Okay? Because that's what this is. She's the one that's doing acting, isn't she?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And what would the word in Greek? Here we have isha, but what would be the word for woman in Greek? Gyne. Hey, gyne. That's what it would be. Hey, gyne. Huh? Yeah, goony, and if you do it in the Greek and the German pronunciation of it. Hey, gyne. We got a word gynecologist out of that, a woman doctor. Okay. Watari. And she saw and kept on seeing Ha Isha, the woman. And what does the word woman mean? It comes out from page 61 in Brown, Driver, and Biggs. What does it mean?
Out of man.
Tell me how. What about that? Where did woman come from? What part of man?
All six sides.
All six sides of man. Woman came from all six sides. She did not come from a rib, did she? No. All right. Didn't come from a rib. She came from all six sides. God took woman, feminine man, out of man.
I heard it was a wishbone.
A wishbone, huh? I've heard about that too, brother. We heard about the wishbone too. Now we have a little word that comes on page 471 in Brown, Driver, and Briggs, and that is, and so the woman, how should we translate that key? Key. Little causative thing, isn't it? We can translate it that, or we can translate it because. Or we can say therefore also. Okay, all of these you can put in there. And then this word tov. What is this word tov? Tov literally means what? What does tov literally mean?
Pleasant.
It means pleasant. All right. It also means, it can mean spiritually good. Okay. Right here, it just means good. All right. In Greek, what would this be? If we just say something is good, it is what? What is the word? Huh? What is the word? All right. Kalos. Okay, what's spiritually good in Greek? What? No. That's truth. Okay. Almost. It starts with Ali. Agathos. Agathos. We have kalos, which is probably the equivalent of this one, and we have agathos. And I'm trying to get you to look at all of this so you can equivalate the idea of the language. Okay? That good. Ha-etz. Tell me about this word ha-etz there, Pamela. Tell me all about it. Break the word down. Okay? Ha is what? Steve? Brother Roger, ha.
Definite article.
Definite article. How do you say the definite article in Greek? How do you say the definite article? To heuristikon our throne. The definite article, okay? And right here, and the woman saw that good, the tree. So right here, what would be the tree? The tree is the object in it. She's looking at the tree as an object. So what case would that be in? Which one would it be? Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, or vocative. What would it be? The object. Which one?
Accusative.
A+, Brother Abe. All right. The tree. All right. And now we have a compound. This is a triple compound word here. Li ma'akal. Li ma'akal.
I'll do it.
Who can do that? Brother?
The lamed is a preposition.
Okay.
Of two or four.
Okay, what about?
The mem is from.
A preposition.
Preposition.
We got two prepositions on the front of this word.
A call is a verb to eat.
Yeah.
So you get the word that it's food for eating.
Literally it means to from eats. All right. To from eats.
So that's eat would have said ani rotsa lecho meshahu bevakasha.
Thank you. It's good to have somebody like that in the class. He's working on this. All right. To from eats. Literally. To from eats. And then what about wiki? Wiki. 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 What's this wiki here? Sharon.
And
what?
It's and.
Okay, we is a conjunction, page 253. And then key is a little, like a causative, particle, conjunctive, sometimes even an adverb. That's on page 471. Okay? And that, or and because, all right, ta'ava. Let's look at this one for a moment. Ta'ava. That this thing, this ta'awa, this is a object of lust. This is an object of desire. This is an object of worship. Okay? You getting all this in there?
Yep.
This tree is an object of worship. And is it an object of lust? Is it an object of delight? Is it an object of desire? It is to worship intensely. Okay? All right? And the tree is a hymn. All right? So when she saw the tree, she fell in love with it. She just went nuts over it. Absolutely went crazy over this tree. It became an object of her desire and an object of her lust. The tree did. She turns it into an object of lust and worship. What can she get from this tree?
Life. Knowledge.
Knowledge.
To be like God.
Pride. Like God. Okay? So she looks at this tree like people look at... Have you ever been into somebody's house and they'd made it like a absolute palace that this was their God? Have you ever walked out to somebody's car and we see an extension of their worship? They're polishing and working on it. They're working on their house. They're doing all this kind of stuff. They may have a collection of coins or anything, guns or buttons, stamps. And what can you do to all these things?
Look at them, that's it.
Well, what can you do with them? You can...
You're preoccupied.
You get preoccupied. They take the place of God. All the things that you ought to do with God, you're turning on this. Okay?
Television.
Well, television can be a God.
Oh, it is.
I want to tell you this. I remember before television, believe it or not.
You're not that old.
I am that old, that poor. Okay, we didn't have electricity. We did have a radio. I want to say that when I was a little child, that we had a radio, but we didn't have any electricity to make it go. We had found the radio in the dump. We also had a ice box. There was an ice box. You put ice in it and put stuff in there, and the ice in the box keeps the thing cold. We got that, too. We couldn't afford to go buy one of them. We got that out of the dump, too. But we couldn't afford the ice, but we'd go down there to the Southern Pacific Ice House, and they would be loading these boxcars and stuff, and we'd get stuff, ice that was laying on the ground. We'd pick it up, get coal out there in the tracks when they were coal-firing those. See, I'm old.
Yeah.
So you go out there and you pick the coal up and you can put that in your stove to keep you warm. You put ice in the ice box when you can afford to go over there, that 10 cents a gallon or 15 cents a gallon gasoline back then. I sold gasoline for 19 cents a gallon one time. That's old, see, real old. This is a long time ago. I have a gas pump at home that you pump up. It's a 1908 Tokine. Manual pump gasoline. You pump this glass up there, how many gallons you want in it, and then it gravity feed out. That's still in my backyard out there. You see all of this stuff. You see, and then people used to turn the radio on instead of talking to each other. How many of you remember that you went to Grandma or Grandpa's house and Grandma and Grandpa told you stories? That was the entertainment. The old people, the patriarchs, told you stories. That was, you centered around the patriarchs. That was what they were good for. They were too old to work, a lot of them, but they still could tell the stories. And they entertained the whole family with these stories. This only went back 6,000 years, you know. Now, they came out with radio. And so they turned the radio on and everybody's glued to the radio. And then when the real monster came in, the real monster was the television. And you walk, people come to your house, you don't turn the television off, you turn the television on. And you sit there and look at television together. You don't talk, you don't learn anything, you do that. That's the way television can, when my older boys, when they were young, I would not have a television in the house. I always had radio. But they never remembered when I didn't have a ham radio. And we would listen to programs together on the radio. You know, the Green Hornet and Inner Sanctum and the Lone Ranger and all that kind of stuff. We'd sit down and listen to that every now and then. And I'd tell them stories. That's what I did. I told them stories. My great-grandmother told me stories. That's why I'm the family historian, because I know what happened, because I listened to her before we had television, before we had radio. Okay? We did those things. It would have been extremely rude if you'd have had a television in 1940 and you walked into somebody's house, somebody come over to you, and you sat down, and you don't look at them, and you turn the television on. And you would be looking at that instead of them and paying attention to them. They come, they, oh well.
Now I know why Tom used to get mad on.
Preachers would go visit their church members and couldn't get a word in edgewise for the TV. The preachers used to go to the home and tell a Bible story or pray with the family or ask them about problems or whatever else. Now you go and you watch television. I wouldn't let my sons have a television in the house until they got into high school, and they said they had to watch these programs for their homework. It wasn't because I couldn't afford one. I went and bought a Sony Triniton. You know, that was a long time. And they had to record them, so I bought a Beta recorder.
Man, that's prior to 1980.
Oh, we're talking in the 70s now. All right? But I thought it would retard them if I bought a television. They wouldn't be learning. People used to sit around in the evening and not watch television and waste their time, but they made things. I remember in the evening when I was, my outlaw stepfather raised me. In the evenings, you know what we did? We repaired harnesses or saddles, or we made saddles and we made harnesses and headstalls. I can teach you how to make an endless braid on a headstall. Cut it in three strips like that, a wide piece of leather like that. Cut it in three strips like that and fold it back until it's a braided.
All right. I'll come out
pretty cool.
To make a better tail.
Yeah. Anyway, you see these things. This is what people taught. They taught things back then. All the time when my kids were, when I was doing something, I was always making some piece of art, Indian art. Different things that go back to the Indian culture. I would make pipe stems and pipe bowls and stuff like that sitting down there. I remember one time my daughter-in-law, they used to laugh at me for doing this. I'm wasting my time. I would be writing, doing these interlinears and things. Yeah. All right. My daughter-in-law went down to Los Angeles in a museum down there. It had a pipe stem that I had made, a big pipe stem with 10,000 beads on it, with a T-pipe, Plains pipe on it, with all this beadwork on it. And down there it said, Shugamiyata Tonka, Jim Phillips. And it was in a museum. She said, that's my father-in-law. And it was a pipe pouch there and everything else that I had made. They had it in a museum. Because it was museum quality stuff that I did, you know. It wasn't just trinkets. People used to do that. But you can make a god out of anything, can't you?
Yep.
She made a god out of this object of the light, worship. In him. Now let's look at it. La-i-na-im. La-i-na-im. What is this? La-ni-a-im. Let's look at that word, Brother Roger. You're a sharp cookie. Tell me about la-ni-a-li-i-na-im. Okay, what number is it?
It's plural.
Plural, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, what's on the front of it?
Well, the preposition la.
Uh-huh.
Two.
Uh-huh.
Can you draw that on the board, Jim? So I know which one you're looking at.
The third line down. The third line down. And the all the way to the left. Okay. Okay.
The plural on the board, so I know.
The plural is this one. Okay, that's the end of it right there, like that.
Thank you.
Okay, look at this. Okay. What's that? Unpointed.
Allah.
What?
Allahim. Allahim.
Elohim.
Elohim.
That's God. That's in the plural. That's the Creator. That's the Triune God. Okay. Here we have on this word we have im on the end of it, and ayin is the root, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And what does that mean?
Eyes.
All right. See the ayin there.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now this ayin. Ayin. Ayin needs to have eyes on it. Because Ayin, what does Ayin stand for in the Hebrew alphabet? What does it stand for? What's it stand for? Remember, it's a... Eyes. E-Y-E. Eyes. Ayin. Eyes. Okay? So now look at it. It says that the object of desire, object of delight, object of worship, an object of lust to the eyes. She had four eyes. She could have worshipped with four eyes, but she only had two. All right? Two for the eyes. All right? Now we have we nikmad. We nikmad. All right? Let's look at this one. We on the front of that, Brother Abe. We. On the front of that. We is what?
Conjunction.
That's a conjunction. Page 253 if you want to write it down. And then what else? We nikmad. We nikmad. What about it, Brother Roger? It's masculine singular, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Nifel participle. So it would say, and lustably, lustingly. Lustingly, desiringly. Desiring, and lusting and desiring. Lusting and desiring. That's what it would be, isn't it? That's what a participle is, isn't it? Lusting and desiring. Ha-etz. Ha is what, Pamela? That no ha. To haristikon our throne, the definite article, the tree. So now she's lusting after this tree, isn't she? The tree, etz. Now let's look at this other word here now. Lehaskil. Let's look at that one now, Brother Roger.
To is a conjunction.
No. Not this time.
Okay.
Not this time. This is the trick. This is the curveball.
It's the infinity.
All right. The lament can either mean a preposition or it can mean an infinitive.
Yeah.
Okay? Right here it's not a preposition, is it?
No.
It's an infinitive. All right? Tell me about this word.
So, infinitive to has definite article. The root or the source is sakal.
Yes.
To make wise.
Yep. Hifel, infinitive, to look or to prosper, to know. There was a very famous woman that she has a cooking show that she had the insight. She was an insider, wasn't she? And she got in trouble and went to prison for a while.
Martha.
Yeah. Because she knew things. And that's what this term here means, is to have inside knowledge. To have inside knowledge. To make one prosper because you have inside knowledge. You're an insider. Inside, to prosper, to have knowledge, to prosper. Okay?
So you're saying that if you have $1,000 and within a week in the stock market you make $100,000, the law of averages is statistically, you're crooked.
No, you would be real lucky. But you might be a crook. You're either real lucky or you're a crook. There are two options there. You're real lucky or you're a crook. Okay? That's possible.
That's what Martha did.
Dia nok theisonte. Kata no se. These are two of the words. All right? To thoroughly understand. To understand to the point of prospering. I am going to be very rich. I'm going to have inside knowledge. This is what she's doing now. She's looking at this, and this is what she's saying. I'm going to be wealthy. I'm going to be rich and wise.
There's only two people there, so, and she's already in paradise, and she's already...
Yeah, this looks where she's going.
Yeah, I mean...
Look at her environment, yet the devil has fooled her, hasn't he? She got tricked, didn't she? Did she get tricked there, Pamela?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, let's see what she had. She had everything. Absolutely everything. Not only that, but she could make love to her husband and never have a pain at all by having children. Isn't that wonderful, girls?
That's beautiful.
Never have a pain in childbirth. Yep. You and I have a pain in childbirth. Nothing. There was no disease. Didn't have to have insurance. Health insurance.
No bad bags.
Nothing. She didn't have to go all do all this laundry because she didn't have clothes to do. All right.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's right.
That's the biggest one.
Right, that's there. Real good. Didn't have to have hot water. Go out there. She didn't have to. I remember. I have a picture, a photograph that I took of my great-grandmother. She was about 78 years old or something like that, I guess. I have a picture of my great-grandmother, my grandmother, my mother, and my sister, four generations there. And my great-grandmother, we went over there and captured her. We did have a camera. We had a brownie box camera, you know. And we got Grandma Grams out there and we said, Grams, come over here and take a picture. Grams was out in the backyard with a kittle, with a fire built underneath it, was out there scrubbing clothes and rinsing them out and washing them and scrubbing them, and she was just absolutely just filthy. She had her work dress on. Have you seen that picture, Brother Roger? I think you have, haven't you?
I have.
You've seen it? Just slick, dirty, and wet, the poor old thing. We got her to stand in line over there. Eve didn't have to do that. Well, actually, her name wasn't Eve yet, was it?
No.
No, it wasn't. Her name was Isha. Isha. She didn't have to do that. She didn't have all these chores. Everything, all she did was walk out there when they got hungry and just eat. Just eat. The temperature was always right. She didn't have to worry about whether she needed a coat or a hat today or anything like that. Or how hot it was going to be, how much the electricity bill was going to be to pay to keep the house cool or to keep the house warm or whatever. It was everything just right all the time. Everything you wanted, just lay down there underneath the stars and just feel beautiful and safe. There are people in the world today that have no safety when they lay down. They're afraid. You go down there and over there in East Bakersfield and go to sleep at night without the door locked. Without being locked.
I'll lock her down every night.
Because you're not safe, are you? How many times do I run out in a month with a gun in my hand? Something's going on out there in the middle of the night. Something's happening. Over and over and over again. Over and over. Not safe. They had all of this. They didn't have to have armed guards. They didn't have to have burglar alarms. They didn't need a telephone either, did they? They could talk to the animals. They could talk to the animals.
The music of God plays for them every night.
Beautiful. I had a Cinderella story happen to me here a while back, and you know this, Steve. You don't know about it. Remember that white horse, that gray horse out there in the pasture right there? They brought her over and dumped her on me, and I rescued her, and they took her away, and she almost starved to death. They brought her back again. They brought her here a while back. Well, I knew I didn't have $300 a month to take care of the horse, but I didn't know what I was going to do, but I sure wasn't going to let the horse starve to death. Because this was a beautiful horse, the most sweetest thing that ever walked the face of this earth. Wonderful temperament. Wonderful temperament. Thoroughbred racehorse. She had the tattoo on her lip and everything. Well, the guy said, he came over to me finally. He said, "She's yours. I don't want her." She had almost starved to death. He said, "I don't want to take care of her anymore. She's yours." And I said, "Well, I can't take care of her. But I'm not going to give her back because I don't want her starved to death." He said, "I'll give you the papers." So I called him, and I called and talked to Chris. I asked Chris, "Chris, would you like to have this thoroughbred, purebred, papered horse?" And she said, "Yeah, yeah, if I can ride her." So she came over and rode her, and she's real easy. She's just like a puppy dog.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Then I got the papers that I looked her up on the internet. Equa something or other. You go look it up. Her half-brother is Secretariat. Her mother was a famous racehorse. Goes back to Damascus. And man of war.
Wow.
All the way back to that little racehorse that was so fast. Not Secretariat, but...
Seabiscuit?
What?
Seabiscuit.
She's a relative of Seabiscuit. Sword Dancer. All of these famous horses, here she is. This is her family. Abandoned. Saw her racing record. Everything's on there.
Bred her to death, was she
no,
good
no, she's not. She's young. She's young. The wrong people got her. The wrong people ended up with her. Like some of the famous horse stories you see on there where you see, what was it, Smokey, the movie Smokey, National Velvet or whatever, you know, where the horse was taken out, somebody got it and starving it to death, beating it and all that kind of, that's her. Her name was Love to Behold. That's her name, Love to Behold. Go look up Love to Behold and chase her lineage and see what she is. You can see everything about her there. Well, I had already given her away, and when the people found out, the woman across the street from me has 100 racehorses, and they wanted to buy her. Ooh, we don't have anything like this stock, you know. That's what I already gave her away, but I just want her to be taken care of. I didn't want her to be dumped out someplace. This is a what you call a Cinderella story. You know, so we found her a good home, and she loves the people, and they love her.
Well, I'm glad you didn't give them to people that raise horses.
Yeah. Anyway, Watikok. 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 Let's look at this one now. Watikok. Third person feminine singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. Translate that one for my brother Roger. I mean, not Roger, but Stephen.
I don't know which one you're on.
Okay, Watikok. That's B. 36B. Right on the other page, right there, 36B. The very first word. Conjugated.
Third feminine singular.
Third person feminine singular.
Cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect.
A plus, brother. You got her. Now let's translate it. Now how should this be translated, Brother Abe? Translate this for me, Brother Abe.
And she took
and what? She took and kept on taking. She took and kept on taking. That's the whole idea. She took and kept on taking. Now, meperio. Look at this word, meperio. What about that word, Sharon? Mepero. Tell me about it. Let's break it down.
From.
Yeah, from. All right.
Yours is from his fruits.
Yeah, there's a double. Now we have an oblative from the front, and we have something else. We have a genitive here also, which is a case of possession. We have oblative with a preposition on the front, which is from, which is man paid 580, if you want to write all this down. All right. Right on the front of it, paid 580.
Thank you.
Okay, now, how do we know this is in the genitive case, Brother Roger?
It's there's possession.
It's a case of possession. All right. All right. From his fruit. And it's him in it. All right. She took from his fruit. Now here we have the first case of gluttony. The first case of robbery. The first case of gluttony. The first case of greed. You ever gone into somebody's house and somebody in the family, they have a big dinner out there and that person wouldn't quit eating till they ate the last thing off of that plate?
Never.
Till they ate the last thing off the plate, until everything was gone. Have you ever gone into the slop and hog place out there called All You Can Eat?
Never.
Walk in there and the people just keep going and keep going and they're dying. Give me one more.
I do it at my own house and I don't go nowhere.
This is it. Look at her. Look at what she's doing here. What to call. Now she became a sinner. Now she became greedy. Now she lusted. And she took and kept on taking from his fruit. And look at what we have here. Third person feminine singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And she kept on eating. And she ate and she kept on eating. With insatiable appetite.
That's interesting right there.
It must have been a chocolate tree. Maybe a seized chocolate tree. I don't know. Or what are some of those other real fancy chocolates? You know those, girl.
Yeah.
What are those called? Some of those?
Dainty.
Yeah.
Dainty.
What?
Dainty.
Dainties, yeah.
Dainty.
Let's go on down a little bit further now. Watitan. Watitan. Look at all those doggies, laneys, and doggies 40s, huh? Here we have a bunch of them in a group. And how about this one? Third person feminist singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And she what? And she kept on giving. She gave and she kept on giving. She kept on pestering. Also, gam, li isha, to her husband, to her man. And she kept on giving it to him. With her, ima, man was watching woman gorge herself with this fruit. And she kept on eating, and she kept on eating, and she kept on eating, and then she kept on giving it to him, and she kept on giving it to him, and kept on giving it. And then it says, third person masculine singular, cow, wow, consecutive, and perfect. And what's that say? And he ate, and he kept on eating. Wow, consecutive, and perfect. So now what do we have here? We had normal people before, now we have gluttons. And they're doing what? They're stealing. They're stealing God's stuff.
Right, so they weren't supposed to eat it.
They weren't supposed to touch it, weren't supposed to look at it, weren't supposed to eat it. Leave it alone. It's mine.
And that what sin is, and that was, it's like you just, if you think, well, I'll just take one, and then next thing you know, it's
true. You just don't do one. You just don't want to tell one lie, you tell gobs of lies. Okay? Now let's go to the next one. All right? Watipakakna. Ene shenihem. Why yadiu ki erumim hem. I'm having to translate this as I go. Why ye peru. Ale tina'a why ya asu lahem chai acha ga roth. All right, let's go back up here and look at this. We'll look at this word here. Wa tip pa kakna. How about this word, Brother Roger?
Starts out with a conjunction. Wa.
Yes, wa.
And the root is.
What is it?
Pakeh.
Yeah.
Pakeh.
Uh huh. Pakeh. That's a root, isn't it?
It translates to she because it's third person. No. It's third person feminine plural.
That's right. Third person feminine plural.
So that's interesting because there's not two women there.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
So is that because eyes is feminine?
That's right.
Okay.
All right. The eyes are feminine. And they were opened up. They were caused to be opened up. The eyes, and they, the eyes. And now we have the word shenehem. Shenehem means a divide, doesn't it? So that means two. So the two are the both of them. All right? And now, why you do? Why you do? Why you do? And what is this one now? Let's look at this one. Why you do? Why you do? How about that one there? Can you conjugate that one for me, Pamela?
Third
masculine plural. Imperfect. Good deal. And they knew and they kept on knowing that. Now here we were. Erumim. Say Erumim. Narumim means to be vulgar. It means to be lewd. It means to be deceitful. It means to be ill-natured. It means to be corrupt. It means to be subtle, defective, corrupted, prideful, high-minded, rubbish, foxy, crafty, deceitful. Oh, boy. Look what they did.
Can you spell that in English?
Which one?
That word.
Which word?
of that description.
You want me to put right all of that on there?
No. Can you spell that Arumim?
A-Arumim. A-Arumim.
Okay.
Well, A?
Is there an English word for that?
Room? That's what I'm writing. I'm trying to write it in English. I'm trying to write it in other languages instead. Arumim. That's the way you'd write it. Arumim. Arumim. All right? That's it.
English?
That's it. Arumim. Arumim. Okay? Now, this means naked, vulgar, lewd, crafty, deceitful, ill-natured, corrupt, subtle, defective, corrupted, prideful, high-minded, wise to the crafty point, crafty wise, foxy. Phronematos is the Greek word that they use in here. Phronematos. Phron means horse sense. That means to figure out things, to look at things and how to survive, how to be a survivor, how to be crafty, how to kill, how to steal. That's all of this is in this word right here. To be carnal minded. Now they become carnal minded. They're carnal. They have a carnal nature. They have an Adamic nature now. All right? Now they become lewd, vulgar, naked, crafty, deceitful, ill-natured, corrupt, wise, subtle, defective, and defected, corrupted, prideful, high-minded, rubbish, garbage. They, or them, him. Now let's look at this other word. Why yit peru? Let's look at that word, why yit peru. Now, right on the front of that, Brother Abe, what is that on the front of that word, why there?
Why?
Uh-huh. That first we there is what? Why is what? That's your conjunction, isn't it? That's your and. All right? And. All right? And it's third person masculine plural. Cal, wow, consecutive, and perfect. We're talking about this third person masculine plural here because now we have the defected human race. Mankind, the defected human race. Trying to get over pneumonia still. It gets me every now and then. And they kept on sowing. And they kept on sowing for themselves. Third person, masculine, plural, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. And they kept on sowing for themselves. Ale. That means leaves. And then te'ena, it means a figs. This is like a fig leaf. On the inside of that fig leaf, is like a stinging nettle.
I was going
to
say
thorny. Thorny. Stinging nettle. I don't like figs. Don't like. First job I ever had was picking figs for Estes Farms. I that was a bad deal. I didn't go back. Stuff burned my hands like fire. Like I was intolerant to them. Of figs. Now we have Waiyasu. Waiyasu. And that is third person, masculine, plural, cow, wow, consecutive, imperfect. And they kept on making lehem. Lehem, now we have the word ham up there. Now we have the word lahem. What does that word lahem mean there, Sharon?
For themselves.
For themselves. The preposition on the front of it is for, to or for. And what case would this be in? All right. This is the...
No.
For themselves. For themselves. That's instrumental. This is the instrumental that you do something to or for. Instrumental. All right. For themselves. these clothes, these breeches, these aprons, whatever you want to call them, chagaroth, aprons. The word chagaroth means to bend around the waist, breeches, which breeches are a like chaps.
They use a big vine, then they could wrap it around because
it means to. What they made was breech cloths. That's what they made was breech cloths out of this. This is what an Indian does. He takes a piece of cloth, and he takes the cloth and pulls it up around him between his legs. All right. There's his There's his legs. You take a piece of cloth that looks like this, and you fold it underneath. There's up the back and up the front like that, and you take a thong, you tie it around, and then you let it flop down so it's hanging down like this. Breech cloths. They made breech cloths out of them, out of these fig leaves for themselves. Very uncomfortable attire. Now, the Indians, they made these breech cloths out of smoking brain tan leather. But now we've got here, we've got stinging nettles, like on the inside. So now they're very uncomfortable because they put themselves in a very uncomfortable position. They are naked. They see themselves as wicked because they are wicked. They have become thieves and liars. Thieves and liars. Aprons out of this breech cloth to bend around the waist. Breeches or breech cloths. All it was, as they sewed these aprons together until it made like a rectangle like this, they took some type of a rope made out of a vine or something. They pulled it up between their legs like that, and they tied it around their waist and let it flop back down. Now, you've seen those, that type of attire on some of these Indian movies and things, you know. That's what they had on.
That's them poor Indians.
Huh?
That's them poor Indians.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
That's them poor
these Indians, right? These fellers right here got themselves in a very uncomfortable religion. This is a false religion. They're trying to cover their sin, weren't they? But there's only one way to cover sin. That's something innocent has to die for something guilty. And that's what the whole irreligious world, that's what's wrong with Islam, that's what's wrong with Jehovah's Witnesses, that's what's wrong with Catholicism, that's what's wrong with Herbert W. Armstrong, Mormonism, everything else. They can't realize that God loved us so much that He became flesh, that He would die for us and redeem us back and clothe us with His righteousness and with His blood. All right. Anything else for tonight? All right. We're out of time. Out of time. Any questions? Steve, you got any questions on that?
Only when you turn it off.
All right. How about you, Brother Roger? Any questions? I'll ask you a question. The students are getting better than the teachers. That's what I love to see. I love to see my students learn. Young lady, you have a question?
Yeah. So she's eating the fruit. Obviously, Adam's right there. He says nothing to her.
No.
It's recorded.
I can't see anything that he says.
And then she keeps handing it to him and goes, eh.
And so he, now, woman's deceived. The woman has been deceived, but is Adam deceived?
No.
No, he's not deceived at all. So what is he doing?
He can't say anything because his mouth is full.
Yeah. He can't say anything because his mouth is full. He's eating, and he kept on eating because they liked the taste of it. But all of a sudden, when they finally quit eating and there's nothing left, what happens? They realize that they're thieves and liars and chumps just like the snake, just like Satan. They've become compadres with the wrong person, the wrong God. They've become compadres with the wrong God. They had this God before. Now they're compadres with that God. And so they begin to make shift a religion to cover themselves and cover their sins. But it didn't work, did it? Pamela, you're going to call a question. How about you, Brother Abe? All right. Yes, brother.
So, when I was 14 and a half years old, both grandmothers were cooks and mom cooked, so there was about 20 pies every holiday. And I'm out in the garage working, and Grandma goes, "Oh, Stephen, you want a piece of pie?" And I said, "Yeah, cut me a slice and put it on pie." So I go work my hands, get the grease off, come back, and there's the slice, and everybody's in the other room. So I take the whole pie, because they're all covered up, I take the whole pie and go eat it, and I come back and put it over the dirty dishes, and then I leave, and I come back, and they go, "You haven't had your pie yet." And I go, "Oh, thank you." So,
you related to these guys? Are you related to these guys?
So this, believe it or not, this went on until I was a senior in high school. And then that's the joke out. That they had known for years that I was doing this. So when I was a senior and I asked for that slice of pie, I went and washed my hands, they came back, and there was an empty pie. And an empty plate.
And an empty plate. Somebody ate it for you.
Yeah.
All right.
Dirty fork.
Yep. Well, we have the story of our ancestors. We only went through 3, 6, and 7, but what a story in 3, 6, and 7, wasn't it? All right. Yeah. All right. Sharon.
And well, it seems like, okay, the original sin, and the original, like between Satan and God, was to be like God.
That's right.
And then with...
We have the same story.
That the snake or Satan tempted Eve with, "You'll be like God. You'll know all this."
Yeah, she saw she's going to be an insider. She's going to become very rich and wealthy. They had everything in the garden, but they didn't have that tree. But when we have that tree, we're going to have everything in the garden. There is no limits now. We have everything in the garden. We have all the other garden plus that tree. And they had the tree of life. The tree of life, which they hadn't taken from it evidently yet. Had all the other fruit trees there, but the one that they weren't supposed to have, now they ate it all up. It's gone. It's gone. Gambling is a terrible sin. You see people go out and they spend their whole month's checks on lottery tickets and all kinds of stuff, or they go gamble everything away, hoping they're going to get rich. And if they hit it rich, if they make $50,000, how long do they keep that? It goes right back. It goes right back, and they have nothing. 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 If they hit the lottery, they would have nothing. There is one old story about this farmer that went to the lottery. He went up there and it's $150 million. And they asked him, he said, "You're a farmer." "Yeah, what's your farmer?" "Yep, that's what I am, a farmer." "What are you going to do if you win the lottery?" And he said, "I'm going to farm till it's all gone." That's like having been a cattle farm. How many oil wells does it take to support a cattle farm or a horse ranch? All right, let's have a word of prayer and let's go out and do something eternal. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word tonight. Forgive us where we fail you. Thank you for the blessings that you give us from your word. Help us to take this and to learn by their mistakes and learn by our mistakes too, so we don't have to go do it all over again and again and again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.